Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is December 12, 2017, and with me today I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am pleased to be here. Good morning, everyone. I'll do my Dave Hamill imitation.
That was wonderful, and I feel like the energy, which is already kind of high, just amped up even more. And speaking of amped up, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
Hi.
Man, and the energy just went through the roof.
Oh, Brian.
It's good to be here.
And it's really swell to have you here, Brian.
You should work in the DMV, Brian.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, Brian's a little too fast.
That was a little too Ross Geller. You know, it was a little too, hi.
No, that's a lot higher energy than your high that you came in with. There you go.
All right.
Now anyway, I'm feeling it. I feel chill. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is VideoBlocks, and that's pretty awesome. I've been using their stock images and video. They do audio also, so we'll talk about them soon. And before we jump into anything, I wanted to thank everyone for covering for me yesterday while I was out taking care of family stuff. It's so wonderful to know that every one of you has my back. So that when I need to go take care of things like that, I can make it happen and not feel stressed. So thank you. I want to give all of you just hugs.
Oh.
Yeah. So speaking of hugs, I bet, Brian, you are ready to hug the iMac Pro. And the reason I am talking about iMac Pro is because Apple, on their website today, so this is what, Tuesday, they changed it to show that the iMac Pro is available on December 14th. So that would be Thursday. And we know more about the iMac Pro because we've seen on YouTube some videos popping up because Apple's doing the same thing that they did with the iPhone X, where they turned to popular YouTube personalities to look at the new iMac. So we know more about the iMac. And one of the things that I'm just going to bring up right now, because I'm guessing it might be a trigger for you, Brian. It is not upgradable. What you buy is what you get.
What the crap is up with that?
I had a feeling.
Go ahead, Brian. Shoot your deal out there and let us have it, and I will respond.
So pro machines not being upgradable is an oxymoron. It's bad enough when it's a laptop. It's bad enough when it's a pro laptop. It is bad enough when it's a pro laptop. It is ridiculous with the desktop. Why would Apple go out of its way to not let you at least upgrade the RAM on the iMac Pro? I mean, I can upgrade the RAM on my iMac 5K. Why would Apple go out of its way to not let us upgrade the RAM on an iMac Pro, let alone being able to put a new hard drive in? You know what I have to do to put a new hard drive in my iMac 5K? I have to, the case has to be split from the display. You know how ridiculous that is? That's so ridiculous. That's so freaking ridiculous.
It's called a Mac Pro, Brian.
This is my iMac 5K. You can't do that at all with the iMac Pro, right? You can't do any. You can't replace the RAM. You can't replace the hard drive. At least not without splitting the case. If assuming that could even be done, we don't know. I would imagine that actually can be done, but we don't know.
We'll have to watch and see what iFixit does, because of course they're going to try and get a hold of one immediately and then strip it down to its screws. But I'm expecting that we will see with the iMac Pro similar design features that we have with the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, which is it's a computer that you buy that Apple intends you never crack open for any reason.
It's a pro machine. That's ridiculous.
Brian, I'm not doing this on purpose. I talked to Jeff about this earlier this morning. So even before I heard your response, I had told Jeff how I feel about this. I was surprised that I wasn't upset about this as I normally thought I would be. This is a machine that is so cool and so fast that if you're a doer, The first thing you want to do is go at it with your software and start testing it and using it, not with a screwdriver.
Blah, blah, blah. Bonk, bonk on the head.
I know.
Bonk, bonk. Bonk, bonk.
I know. I'm surprised how I feel about this. Certainly the Mac Pro, when it comes out, you know, I'm ready to unload all barrels on Apple. They already said it was going to be modular. But a machine like this for manufacturer...
it would be modular.
Yeah. For a machine like this, for the manufacturability of it and the avoidance of any technical issues and the awareness of the desire of the scientists and the engineers to just sit down and start exploiting it from square one. And they're going to buy the memory they need. They're going to buy the memory. If you buy this machine with 32 gig of RAM, you're making a big mistake anyway, right? So why would you do that?
Why would you heap such rationalizations upon this poor design decision? I mean, there's nothing.
I'm surprised how I'm feeling about it.
There's nothing about having an iMac Pro with user upgradable RAM that would keep someone from just digging in with their software.
Well, user upgradable is a method by which people can get in at an entry point and then in time manage their money and upgrade the memory as funds allow. But when you have an institutional device like this, it's being bought by Boeing Aerospace. Do you think some engineer at Boeing is going to sit down and say, oh, well, you know, I better get only 32 gig of RAM because I can't afford the extra $500?
Why are you rushing? Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that you think that only institutions will be buying this?
This is a pro machine, and I'm thinking that it's not going to be in the hands of normal everyday users.
It's going to be in the hands
government
of
government and enterprise.
This is aimed at creative pros, not government and enterprise. What are you talking about?
Chia Day, not a one-person outfit in Boulder.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. I guess that explains everything.
Chia Day. Balderdash.
Listen. Okay, so
I'm just proposing some ideas here.
Let's talk
Brian.
About the. Let's look at the fact that Apple way overcharges for memory, right? I mean, like for
yes, any, that's you
know,
true.
Creative pros who have even an ounce of you know technical acumen and geekery, which includes a lot of creative pros, but certainly not all of them, would want to buy this with the you know bare bones and then you know get some RAM from OWC or
well, you can argue that a souped up iMac would fill that bill. I mean, this is a machine for people who... Okay, so the key... We're talking about this blog from Mr. Craig Hunter that was posted on the internet where Apple provided him an iMac Pro for testing. And one of the things that he talked about was the scalability of the cores, and that implies software that can exploit the multiple cores. When you have a machine like this with as many cores as you have to be using specialty software like... software from NASA or special engineering software or computational science software that you know supercomputer labs use to be able to fully exploit all the cores. And he did a scalability chart that showed how well these cores were scaling up. So that means you have to have special software. So if you're just using Photoshop that normally runs on a few cores or some lesser CAD app or something like that that hasn't been tuned for a machine of this power, you're not going to be able to fully exploit it. So there's going to be it has to be an essential marriage between the kind of software that can exploit those cores and the hardware itself. And that necessarily means it's going to be in the hands of really high-level professionals, which is exactly the marketplace that was crying out for a machine like this.
This device is aimed at creative pros in particular. And no, yes, listen. For Apple to seal this machine is a big FU to a large number of people who would buy this machine. It's a big FU to them.
You've been spending too much time with John Key. Did I just say that? Jeff, please feel free to delete this from the audio.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, John. It's already gone.
I'm having a hard time getting worked up. Let's sit down and let's max the machine and go out and, you know, pay the $8,000 for 128 or 256 gigabytes of RAM, install your computational fluid dynamic software or your engineering software or whatever you're going to be doing with it, and get to work, roll up your sleeves, and really, put the machine to work.
Shut up.
You know, and complaining about how it doesn't have a door on the back and you can't upgrade your own memory seems a little bit, a little bit nitpicking to me.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It seems like a lot of whitewashing and rationalization to me.
Maybe the listeners will weigh in on this.
Let's sit in your institutional desk. So now you've got your IT people. Of course, IT people are always really happy to take care of the workers in the company, right? Super happy. They're like, super useful.
Delighted and delightful
in the process, right? And they are just going to be so excited when the scientist says, I need more RAM. And now they're going to have to split this case in order to put the more RAM in it. They're going to be super excited about that. And I'm sure it'll probably be a really fast turnaround too. This is absolutely perfect for institutional settings, John.
Brian, I'm pretty sure the IT people are going to say, yeah, we can't do that, because I'm betting that when I fix it, cracks one of these open, the RAM's going to be soldered in. So you're not going to be able to swap out RAM chips.
Oh my God. If it's soldered in.
I can't wait to see the purchase profile of how many machines are sold with 32 and how many machines are sold with 128. They're all going to be 128 machines.
The same thing with storage. The one thing that we have learned, the one thing that reality has proven, is that we need more storage. As time goes on, what was acceptable when you bought your machine? Your machine is still perfectly usable 2 years later, but you need more storage.
Machines like this don't depend on a single internal drive. You need enough room for your operating system and some central apps.
But institutional machines are
connected with NFS or to a SAN, so that there's a lot of nearby storage available. I mean, you're not going to cram all your lifelong engineering research onto one internal drive. You're going to put it on servers that are backed up.
Jeff, are you hearing this?
I am. And I've been just sitting back eating my popcorn because you guys are really entertaining me.
It's John pulled up his like frozen bucket of rationalization. He's like, digging into it one spoonful at a time. I see a new rationalization. Let me try that one up.
All right. So I've been quiet and I haven't offered up my take on this. Yeah. And I'm going to do that now. Because we'll just see how you react. My plan is I'm going to give you my opinion and then just move on. But we'll see what really happens. So when I saw the announcement just go crazy over the internet that it's not an upgradable computer, my first thought was, well, it is an iMac. And then my second thought was, people are going to flip their crap out now because there's going to be a lot of people that look at the iMac Pro with the same perspective that you're bringing, Brian, where they're going to look at it and say, it's a Pro machine, and you're telling me I can't even put more RAM in it? What is wrong with Apple? Here's what I think Apple is doing, and they're just not telling us in an effective way yet. I think they're looking at the Pro market as a two-path thing now, where you have Pros where what they want is a machine that they can pull out of a box and start using, and that's it. And then you have the other group of Pros where they want the machine, and they want it to be the dream machine that you're talking about, Brian, where you crack it open and you can change your storage. You can beef up the RAM, maybe put in a different video card.
It's not a dream machine. That's an uncompromised machine.
That's
not a dream machine. It's not like I'm wishing for some unicorn. Listen, I can upgrade the RAM. I'm going to remind you here. I can upgrade the RAM in my iMac 5K.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's a consumer machine.
Yep.
Exactly. It's a consumer machine, and I can upgrade the RAM, and I can't on a Pro machine. Pros need to upgrade the RAM far more than consumers do.
Pros tend to buy the machine they need out of the gate because you go to your manager and you say, I need this iMac Pro for my aerodynamics calculations. I've been down this road. I was at the Oak Ridge National Lab. When you go to your boss and you get him to sign the paperwork, you don't skimp. You don't say, I'm going to save a few bucks. John, this is the machine I need, and he signs the paperwork, and you get your 128 gigabyte of RAM.
This market is not limited to institutional people or enterprise settings like what you're talking about. This is for creative pros. If anything, this is the device that these YouTubers, you know, keep in mind that Apple gave this to YouTubers and photographers and graphic artists and things like that. These people are not working at Oak Ridge National Labs.
But there's a difference between target marketing and the people you want to have doing the advertising for you and the end customers.
Speaking of advertising, I'm totally interrupting, and we can get back to this in a second.
I mean, when you have a kid laying on the grass with an iPad,
you're not picking up what I'm putting down, Joe. You need to stop talking because I want to tell everyone about video blocks, and then I'll let you carry on again. Okay, so here's the deal.
All right.
Video Blocks, they are our sponsor today. And so if you're planning on getting one of the new iMac Pros, and regardless of whether or not you're happy about upgradability, Video Blocks may be something that you want to look at, because if you're going to be doing any 4K video work, they have gobs of video stock content for you to work with. They have gobs of audio. They have gobs of images, and they've divided all of this up into categories, so you can go and search for the videos you want. And if that's all you need, great. You can just sign up for that part, or just the audio clips, or just the images, whatever you need. And it's great if this is your business, because it's an inexpensive way to get at a lot of stock content that that you can use royalty free in your projects. So they have over 150,000 videos, over 100,000 audio clips, over 400,000 images, and those numbers are going up all the time, because they have all these professionals adding in this new content on a regular basis. So it's a great way to get at that extra content you need for your projects without having to spend a lot of money, because what they're doing is offering each of their stock content services for $149 a year. So you can, if all you need is video, great, $149 a year, and you've got all that 4K video just ready to go. And they have some really nice stuff. I've been looking around and downloading stuff and using it, and it's like really nice. But let's say that you need more, like you want to have a bunch of stock images as well as the video. Okay, great. Well, because they love everyone that listens to Daily Observations, we have a deal. So here's the deal. If you want to get all of this content at a really great deal, what you need to do is take advantage of their triple bundle. And this is something special for TDO listeners. So to get my special triple bundle offer, what you have to do is go to videoblocks.com/TDO. And when you do that, you're going to get all three of these bundles, the images, the video, and the audio, for $149 a year for the whole year. So 12 months of royalty-free content, all you can use, for $149. It's amazing. So that's videoblocks.com/TDO. And don't wait, because this special offer is only available in December. So you need to head over to their website right away, videoblocks.com/TDO, $149, all of that content for a whole year royalty-free. It's a fantastic deal. So thank you to Videoblocks for being our sponsor today. All right. So John, do you feel like you've said your piece?
No, I want to get in another 60 seconds here.
Okay.
I want to go back to the iPad Pro ad. What's a computer? So here's a machine that's $800 for 256. It's designed for technical professionals. You're going to spend with Apple Care, you're going to spend about $1,000. So who are you marketing this to? Well, pros, creative professionals, right? So how does the ad run? You get a 10-year-old girl, roughly 10, laying in the grass with a $1,000 computer, telling us that you don't need no stinking computers, that an iPad Pro is what you should buy. So there's an example of a mixed message marketing, where you have one kind of avenue or vehicle for the ad, and a product that's targeted towards professional users. So that's my explanation for why Apple chose the avenue it did for the iMac Pro.
Okay, so market. The bottom line is the Creative Pros are institutional users in like mm-hmm. international labs and scientist settings.
And big professional ad agencies and so on.
Okay. Reality argues with you and says that Creative Pros are a much broader swath of people that include a whole crap ton of people who are not in institutional settings.
And Brian,
so everything you said may well apply.
Medium and small businesses, sure, I'll admit that too. I'm just talking about the big guys who were demanding a machine like this.
Okay, well, so everything you're saying may or may not apply. It actually is arguable that it applies to the institutional settings you're talking about. Everyone else outside of those institutional settings, though, it's a catastrophe.
I'm not convinced. Oh, you buy the machine that you need when off the top because you're a pro and you amortize it over the lifetime of the device.
What happens when things change? It's a pro machine. Pro users needs change more than normal users.
Pro users are in business. They understand the finances. They amortize their machines. They buy and they get tax breaks. They use the tool as a business tool. But and when they need a new machine, change. They buy a new machine.
Oh, man.
All right. So here's what I saw back in the day when I was a consultant for the graphic arts industry. I had a lot of clients that were like high-end advertising agencies. I had a lot of clients that were also like solo designers, and they had their own in the spare room in their home design agencies. And what I found is that initially all of these people use Mac Pros, and they bought the Mac Pro because in their mind that was the pro machine. That's what you bought. That's what you used. And in many cases, they did not think about upgradability until it became an issue for them. But when the iMac started to become more capable, I saw many of these professional designers, whether they were in their home or whether they were at an agency where you had rows of computers, where they started switching to iMacs and they didn't care about the upgradability. So that's why I'm thinking Apple is going down a two-path approach with this. And I mean, there's a lot more to it, but you know, we're out of time. So that's the condensed version. I think that Apple sees that there's a market for this self-contained device and a market for the device that should have the Pro name on it, which is the Mac Pro.
And yeah, Apple clearly thinks that they're right.
Yeah, of course.
Otherwise, right, by definition.
This machine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so based on my experiences over the years, my observations over the years, I'm not ready to discount Apple's decision to make the iMac Pro a sealed device yet. I want to watch and see what happens with sales and what happens when we see the ad agencies and the in-home small business designers getting these in their hands and using them. So I am cautious about whether or not this was the right decision. But for now, I'm willing just to kind of sit back and watch before I pass my final judgment. How's that?
So one thing we didn't get to at all is that the machine is a beast of a performer.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah, and so from a performance standpoint, it is solid, and it is according to at least one. I haven't done any of the research myself, but at least one of the YouTubers who got one of these devices spec'd out a comparable not all in one PC and came up with a $5,100 machine instead of a $5,000 machine.
Yeah, so that's promising because that tells me, just based on this little bit of data, that Apple is probably pricing this appropriately for the market.
Yeah, from a spec standpoint, it seems like Apple has done a great job and nailed this. All the crankiness that I was exhibiting over the last, you know, how long has the show been? However long that's been, is just about the lack of upgradability on the RAM and the hard drive, but especially the RAM.
Yeah. Well,
okay. The machine itself seems awesome. By the way, does the keyboard have the touch bar? I forgot to look.
It does not.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah. So we're out of time. So I'm going to use that as the wrap up point and drop a little thing that I think this projects. I think the Touch Bar is one off. I think it's on the Touch Bar MacBook Pro and it's not going anywhere else ever. Yep. And I think
it's Apple plugged
thing. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm wondering if we will ever see another MacBook Pro with a Touch Bar at this point.
Yeah, if we see another MacBook Pro with a Touch Bar, I'm just going to be even more furious because it's just so ridiculous, man. Give us feature ubiquity. I want feature ubiquity, right? Do we all agree with that, by the way, that like if Apple's going to do something for the Mac, that it should be available for all the Macs?
I agree. Yes.
John?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, we ran over, but
yeah, I know.
There was just no way to stop it. So we'll wrap up now. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for getting the blood pressure.
John, thank you for being here.
Oh, of course. I had a great time. It was great to be here. So long, folks.
And that was a wonderful discussion. I'm so glad that we had that discussion. And hey, thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor today. So don't forget about that triple bundle. So to get my special triple bundle offer, what you need to do is go to videoblocks.com/TDO and don't wait. The special offer is only available in December. It's videoblocks.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again.
Hey Jeff, before you go, I'm sorry. Can you include a link to Marcus Brownlee's wonderful video review in your show notes?
Oh, absolutely. It was already on my list.
Yeah, I recommend everybody watch it.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
I have another video that I'm going to include too. So
sorry for interrupting.
That's all right. I'll let it slide this time. Hey, listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.